In the latest in our series about life after divorce, we hear a male perspective. Ryan, not his real name, is 34 and has two young children. He met his wife in his early 20s and married in 2015, but their relationship began to deteriorate after kids came along and they began the divorce process in November 2020. His own parents divorced when he was young. More than 40% of marriages end in divorce, and most of us will have been affected by one, whether it be our own, our parents, or our children's. Yet we don't speak easily about the process or the fallout. In Life After Divorce, our reporter Henrietta Harrison, who has recently been through a divorce herself, is speaking to listeners at different stages of the process. This is Ryan's story.
We got together very young. We were 20, and you change a lot in your 20s, don't you? So we grew apart. Obviously, neither of us were happy, and I think that sort of led to, I guess, us getting at each other. There wasn't a lot of love there.
So you were sort of bumbling along, but neither of you very happy?
I certainly wasn't, and I don't think she was either. We both worked really hard. We had two small children, which is really difficult. COVID probably didn't help, I guess. Certainly wasn't rushing in the door after work and sort of grabbing her, and, you know, I don't know.
Were you unpleasant to each other?
I don't think we went out of our way to be nasty to each other, but I guess you do sort of moan at each other, don't you? Moaning about things that really, you know, you're only here once. It doesn't matter, does it? Is that being unpleasant? Probably. Yeah, it's not nice, is it?
What was the trigger? I mean, how did it sort of finally come to an end?
I think we were driving. We'd just gone to get a coffee. Really trivial. I think my ex was sort of moaning about something at me. I can't remember what it was, no. But I just pulled the car over and I said, I just can't do this anymore. And she was in agreement. It wasn't all me. Like, I think she sort of thought, no, you're right. And we had a chat and it was all fairly amicable. I remember sitting in the park and ride and we sort of had a chat and we said, like, neither of us are happy. It's probably time that we sort of parted ways, isn't it? It wasn't really dramatic. We sort of just both said, we just can't do it. And I think maybe both of you think, well, we'll sort it out, but we just never did.
Did you have counselling or anything like that?
No, we probably should have a lot earlier, because that's what it's there for, isn't it? Rather than just plodding along and then giving up. It is too easy to give up these days, isn't it? And it's a generational thing. And certainly people like grandparents wouldn't have done it over moaning at each other. That's just the norm.
Ryan lives in a two-bed flat above a shop in a village in the east of England. We talk in the kitchenette come sitting room while his kids are sleeping. There's a table, chairs, a sofa, and boxes of toys. The only pictures on the wall are those drawn and painted by his kids. After his ex moved out, he stayed in the family home for 3 months before he moved here.
That was a really lonely time, that was. And actually, it was better that when I moved out of the family home and moved to a new place, because it was mine. It's just the memories, isn't it? You sort of rattle around a big house because you've had a family home, and you do go down that sort of dark, lonely road. You've got friends and family, but at the end of the day, it's your battle, isn't it, in your head, and you do have to deal with that on your own. It just takes time.
Did she take a lot of the stuff out of the house? Or?
I sort of was so not in, you know, the right frame of mind. I remember she said, and we're still amicable at the time, she said, well, my dad's going to help me move. I was like, fine, I'll take the kids out for the day, you know, take what you want. But like, when I got back, the house was literally like stripped. So I wasn't too impressed, but looking back on it now, am I bothered? No, you know, it is what it is. She was having a stressful time as well, moving, etc. So as a man, I definitely think you sort of give up at some point. You know, I certainly was just like, do you know what, it's possessions, I'm not bothered. I had a few sentimental things and a TV, and that was about it. A lot of the stuff had gone, most of the kid stuff, and even things like little ones' passports and that, and birth certificates, which I didn't really think about at the time, but I also need them and have a right to them. And it's like, we didn't even discuss that. It was just sort of like taken. It's still that old stigma, isn't it? That the mother has more rights. And as a dad, you are on the back foot still.
Why do you say that you're on the back foot as a man?
You just feel it. You still feel it. Absolutely. I know I didn't physically give birth to them, but I've been there from day one. I do everything for my children. So
you had to fight quite hard to get 50-50 with the kids.
Not really. I think originally when we split up, we sort of had that conversation, and my ex was very much, you shouldn't have them 50%, etc. And then all of a sudden, she sent me a parenting plan. These are your days, it's 50-50. No conversation. It was just like, these are your days, it's 50%. I think it was, he's not going to be able to do that. So she had moved the children about 45 miles away. So on my days, I was getting up, driving them to school, then driving another 50 miles to work the other way, then in the evening driving 50 miles back to get them, and then 50 miles again, which wasn't fair on the kids. And I'd done that for 3 months because I was like, I'm not giving up. I'm so glad I didn't. I mean, it nearly killed me, but I'm so glad I stuck it out. I can see why men give up. I can see why men walk away and give up, because you're fighting every day. You're trying to work. You're trying to look after your kids. Everything's a fight. And you sort of think, how much more fight have I actually got left? I guess my children gave me that strength to do it for them. I'm so glad I did, because the 50% of the time I have them is amazing. As tough as it is, you know, 5 and 2, but I love it. I wouldn't change it.
Yeah, it's interesting. There are, I don't think, any stats or breakdowns of child arrangements unless it gets to court.
No.
It's very hard to know, you know, what the truth is out there. I mean, certainly anecdotally, amongst my peers, it feels like the kind of 80-20 favoured towards mum having the kids is the most common, which obviously you didn't want to accept.
No.
What do you think is key to sort of more men having the attitude that you had, which was, I'm going to do it, I can do it?
Believing in yourself for a start, I think, because when you're married and you're bringing up small kids, you've got that other person, haven't you? All of a sudden, I was a single dad bringing up two kids. I couldn't get my little ones to sleep, and obviously I'd done it when we were married, but you've got that other person, haven't you? And you've got the backup, and as a man, you have to get that maternal instinct. And that actually takes a lot of time, but you do get it. And when they're sick, you become, I can't explain it, but I would just say, stick with it and do not give up your children, because when they're older, they're going to remember what you've done for them.
You mentioned that your parents split. How old were you when they split?
About 5, actually. Yeah.
Do you think that in some ways motivated your determination to do more than what your dad did?
Yeah, definitely. Because I used to dread going to my dad's. My dad was a good bloke. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm still very close to him now. But it was like all my friends were at home. It was like every other weekend. It was, you know, I couldn't wait to stop it, to be fair. And I don't want that with my kids. I want them to feel like they've got two homes that are the same. And it's just normal. And we're at a stage now where that is normal. And I hope it continues.
I find it really interesting area, because my kids, I think, very much see my place as home. Mm. And I think in some ways, I quite like it like that. I'm embarrassed to admit it.
Well, why? We're human, aren't we? We have emotions. You're not going to say, oh, I love it that they see my exes as their home and they don't love it. Of course you're not going to do that. I mean, that'd be dishonest, wouldn't it? You want your children to want to be with you more, don't you? That's just life.
I talked to a woman we called Amanda in the first part of this series, and we discussed our shared personal experience that after divorce, men tended to pursue other relationships and put their needs first. But Ryan's having none of that.
No, I definitely not. I mean, my ex is living with someone and moved on really quickly, and he was in the house within, you know, under a year. So, and I haven't, you know, it's me and the kids. And actually, I kind of like it like that. You know, I give them my full attention. I don't rely on anyone financially or for any help with them. It's me.
So are you actively not looking for a relationship? You
know? No, I have been seeing people.
There's been no one here in the morning?
No, definitely not. No.
You wouldn't want to do that?
No.
Why not?
I like it in the morning, the kids jump in my bed. Do you know what I mean? We get up, we have our little routine.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it won't happen, but, you know, right now it's not my priority. Kids and work.
Your ex has got a new partner.
Mm, yes. I knew she was seeing someone. It felt to me fairly quick. I definitely didn't deal with it well. I think my friends will tell you that. To the point where they sort of all had like a private WhatsApp group, and they came round one night and they were like, I drove like 50 miles to come round there because they're obviously a bit worried about me. And they sort of came round and they were like, look, sort yourself out. My first thought was, the kids are going to have a new dad. That's it, they're going to have a new dad. And that was what was stressing me out. And I sort of thought, how am I going to deal with it? That really, really got to me. It broke my heart. It did break me, and I'll admit that.
Were you angry about her having a new man? Or were you angry about there just being another man around your kids? Or were they all conflated?
Actually, she was very respectful. Before he moved in, she said, look, do you want to meet him? I was like, no, not really. I know who he is.
Did you meet him?
Nah, I know who he is. I've met him years ago. I don't need to sit there and shake his hand and just be really awkward, wouldn't it? Look, I don't like you. Not who you are, just because of it's just tough. From what I hear from the kids, he's nice to my kids. So actually, I couldn't really ask for much more than that. It was tough knowing that my ex had moved on, even though I didn't want to be with her. You know, that's one of our downfalls, isn't it, as a man, that I don't want to be with you, but I don't want anyone else to be with you either. But that's stupid, isn't it? So, you know.
Very, very normal. I think women are like that too. I don't think it's just weird, just men. It? Yeah. You said when you were in that more insecure, angry place, you were worried about you being replaced as a dad.
It. Yeah.
I mean, you know, in what sense? Are you worried about them walking down the aisle or...?
That's not going to happen. They don't call him dad. They'll never call him dad just because I'm such a present father. Now, if I wasn't, it probably would happen. I struggle when I see dads not wanting their kids more because it's like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you change your life and just revolve around your kids? But I know sometimes it's not possible. And I've had to change a lot about my career and stuff like that to be able to do it. I've been accepted into my dream job. Then the divorce obviously started and the childcare just wasn't going to be possible. So it isn't an easy choice, but it's so worth it.
A friend of mine said to me before the breakdown of my marriage, you know, when I was, can I do it? Should we do it? My friend said to me, do it before your mum dies, which I think, you know, was actually really wise advice. Absolutely. And I was sort of quite taken aback by it. But there were certainly two or three occasions where, you know, I was kind of at my lowest ebb and I had nowhere to move to and I was trying to find rentals and I remember just feeling really defeated by it one day and dropping the kids off at school and went to bed at like, you know, quarter past nine or whatever. And I was just like,
can't, I get that.
I don't know what to do. And I remember my mum calling me that day. She knew, you know, what I was going through. She's like, where are you? I'm in bed. Are you crying? I was like, no, I'm not crying. She said, that's good. She said, you know, get up, have a shower, make a cup of tea and make another phone call to that landlord or whatever. On those very, very tough days, you know, she was there. Was your mum plugged in that way or your mates?
I think my mum's gone through this divorce as much as I have, to be fair. And she's been solid. I mean, I remember sobbing in my mum's arms and she's only 5 foot, bless her. She got me through some tough, tough times. So she's had a second divorce.
What were you crying about that day? Do you remember what had triggered it?
I just think it was the situation around the kids. And when I used to send them back, and it's still tough when I send them back now. I've just had them for 5 days and now they go back to mothers for 5 days, so I don't get them till Monday. And I still find these 5 days tough.
That seesaw's really hard, isn't it? It's like the intensity of having them on your own. Then they're gone.
Then they're gone. It's like nothingness. So
I've not got my head around that.
No, I don't think I ever will. It'll be better when they're older and they have a phone.
But you will get used to it, I'm told. You can do cool stuff on your own, right?
Yeah, I mean, I work and see my mates and whatever, but it's still, it's not your kids, is it?
You moved to this village, out of a town to a village, so you could be a 50-50 parent. How welcomed have you been by the village as a single parent?
I don't know anyone. And I've recently spoke to one of my daughter's friends at school's mother, and, you know, that's been good, but... Because also you're single and you just look like a creep, don't you? It's like everyone's like, oh, he's on the prowl. It's like, I'm not. I just want someone to talk to and play with my kids. My childminder has been great. She's been really welcoming.
I think there is more of a mum's network, isn't there? Do you feel that?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about making like a single dad's Facebook group. You don't want to look like a bit of a wally, do you? Do you know what I mean? Like, come and hang out with me and my kids. So I think there is a space for that, though. No, I'm sure there's men out there, obviously, that are like me. Even just to have a chat about things and whatever, I think that helps.
Do you think people feel sorry for you? As a divorcee, I always find people, there's certain people that kind of envy me. They think I'm having a wild time and having adventurous sex and drinking cocktails. And there's some people that think that. And then there's other people that I think, oh, they feel sorry for me. They think my life is hard. How do you think you're perceived?
There's probably a point where it all first happened where I wanted some sympathy, but now I'm not in that place. So no, probably not so much now.
Do you think you'll marry again?
I would like to get married again, because actually, that's a funny thing. When you get married, you don't really... Well, I don't know about anyone else, but I didn't really take in what the vows meant. But I went to two of my best friend's weddings last year, and I actually listened to the vows, and I was like, you know, if I get married again, I'm going to make sure I read those vows every day, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I wouldn't say I'm on the scrap heap just yet.
If you met your 32-year-old self just before the divorce, what advice would you give him? What would you say was ahead for him?
It's going to be all right. You're going to have some dark, dark times, and I mean really dark times, where you cannot see any way out of it. But it is going to be all right.
Ryan there, speaking to our reporter Henrietta Harrison. And we got this message from a listener who was also tuning in, who writes, in 1991, after 15 years of marriage and four kids, my wife told me in a Dear John letter she had never loved me and she left me for a woman. I was devastated, and even more so when I got conned into temporarily leaving, but she filed for divorce and I lost my home and my kids. 30 years later, it still hurts. Please do get in touch if you too have been affected by the issues raised in that series and that piece, which we will continue to bring you in the coming weeks here on Woman's Hour.